Namaste.
Namaste.
And thank you. Have you noticed how the energy has shifted in the last few days?
Yes.
And we went from Cancer to Leo.
Yes.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you can feel it here in the temple, right?
Yeah.
Everything is wonderful in its own way. If things are bad for you, they're not going to stay. It is amazing because in Cancer, we do have opportunity to really feel bad. We just go through that, through our litany of stuff, and, well, I can't pay this one this month. And maybe if, you know, it's only been like 3 months, maybe I won't be thrown out of my house. And this month, you know, with the sun shining on us and through us, you know, the sun who is the heart of this galaxy, and the sun which is the heart of our own horoscope, as it were. You know, so we're all Leos today. We get to be for a month, and that'll be lovely, won't it? The golden people always have a bit of gold on top of their head, you know, because Leos get to do that, you know. And so we are celebrating Leo, and we do need to celebrate it, friends, because like we only have it for a month, and then we're going into Virgo, and then we're going to get real serious again. So let's go for it, okay? Go for the gold. That's Leo, the lion. It's amazing, isn't it, how every month the energy shifts. Some of it's such a gift to us, and some of it seems to be trying to trip us up. But we learn to jump hurdles, don't we? It's an incredible, incredible time. And we are so very grateful. And I do want to mention, you know, we just mentioned the Temple of Universality. Remember, the temple is not a building. We love the facilities. We are so grateful. But there will be a building here in Sierra Vista and one here too. That will all happen because you're the builders. But so you can ponder on that. You can meditate on that and see what your building looks like, because there are images and pictures coming to some folks of what a building would look like. But do remember that the temple is a movement. It is a movement of consciousness, the Aquarian consciousness, which cannot be contained in a building, but it's in our hearts, in our minds, and it is a worldwide remembrance that all people, one family under God, embracing all religions, no religions. So there are a lot of folks in the world who really don't say, you know, would say, well, you know, I don't really tend to be religious. I don't care for that. I've known religious folks, and I think they're a bunch of hypocrites and all that. But whatever your direction is, your inner guidance is, we honor that, okay? And at some point there will be buildings around the world, and some of you will be the pastors or the ministers and the healers in those places. Just wait and see. So keep your eye on these younger ones especially, because they have a destiny that is going to be seen around the world, experienced around the world. And I just sat with a young woman. I stood, she sat, and the first one, Spirit says, she's not sick, send her back and sit in her chair because she's surrounded by angels and we're not going to leave her, okay? The second one comes up and sits down, another young woman, and Father Justin says, just tell her I'm with her, I'll take care of it, no problem, send her in her on her way, she's not sick, okay? So that's just the way it is, you know? And what we are feeling now, we won't be feeling later. You know, we'll be feeling greater unless we step stump her toe tomorrow on Monday and fall in a hole, you know. But you know that story too, you know. So if you fall in that, somebody takes the top off of one of those things in a street and you fall in, well, that sounds bad, doesn't it? That looks bad. Most of us have done that. Maybe not in a particular hole here in Tucson, but maybe it was somewhere else. And it was a financial, it was a broken heart, you know, when your son went to jail. There are a lot of things, there are a lot of holes in our souls, aren't there? But as we know, we won't be suffering long, because we have already learned that we cannot look at a situation that we denote as awful, terrible, impossible, and look at it that way, because we all look with the inner vision, the higher vision of the of consciousness. Okay, now if we want to look at it from the solar plexus and say, hey, how many of you have not played Ain't It Awful? Because I have advanced degrees in it, folks, okay? So that's why I'm up here saying you don't have to live there and you don't have to suffer here. It's a choice. And I know there are a lot of folks that choose it, you know, because we feel like, I did. I felt, well, I'm entitled. This stuff is real. You know, don't tell me that airy-fairy stuff about rise above it. You know, you rise above it. If you were in my shoes, if you had my problems, you wouldn't be so blasé about this, you know. Well, but you know what? It's law and it's true. I don't think I even wanted it to be true. I wanted some sympathy from you, okay? When I found out Spirit wasn't in the sympathy business, you know, I said, well, look, you know, there's a pathway to heaven. There's a bridge to heaven here, and I see all my folks, you know, all of just having a great time, but you don't know my problems. You don't know my husband. You don't know what my kids are doing, okay? Just tell me you're going to fix them, and then I'll get on that bridge too. There's a song we sing about that, you know. And there was another one earlier, Bridge Over Troubled Water, you know. I felt like mine had already sunk. So all I'm saying is it really works. That little pithy phrase that Jesus used works. Now, I knew that verse from the Baptist church. It didn't work for me there. I knew it as a Catholic. It was still there in the Bible. But I never took it out of the Bible and used it. This ego thing is big, isn't it? You know, I mean, you know, we talk about people having a big heart. Well, a lot of people do have a big heart, but I'll tell you, I had a bigger ego than I had a heart, you know. So anyway, I was a hard sell, but God, it's worth it, isn't it? So no matter what it is and where it is and what the... As Dr. Blair, the spirit doctor, used to say to me, and what is your perceived problem?
Oh, that's terrible.
Perceived? you know, he knew everything I did, every bite I took, you know, and could repeat it to me when I went to class. Well, that's not a perception, you know. This is... Other people may have perceived problems, but mine is real, okay? It took a while with his patience and trying, you know, to convince me that the law, cosmic law, works for everybody. It will work for me if I will change my prayer to thank you, God, thank you. I'll tell you, how does that feel? When nothing has changed, and I'm supposed to be saying, thank you, everything is perfect. And then we have that song, this is the way it goes, really. Everything is wonderful in its own way. It wasn't the way that I wanted it, but it was the way that I was supposed to get it for my lessons, for my learning, for my, because you only teach what you experience yourself, right? And I get to be a facilitator for A Course in Miracles. Well, I couldn't very well be a facilitator for A Course in Miracles going around whining all the time, because that wouldn't be good PR, you know, for A Course in Miracles, would it? So, anyway, today I'm having a gratitude attack, and I know a lot of you are too, because I've already been up, rubbed up against you, and it's like, hey, let's levitate today, okay? Now, isn't that the truth? But in the meantime, I'm going to talk. So you can levitate all you want, but I'm still going to talk, okay? Who knew that Leo was going to come in like a roaring lion and tell us all to wake up and smell the gold? The gold. The gold in the heart. The gold over your head. The gold that runs through your body called consciousness, higher consciousness. And I'll tell you, it takes that Leo lion heart, golden heart, to really drown those emotions, doesn't it? I mean, when you see, you know, so when you sit in meditation and see that golden light over the top of your head, and then you change your aspirations and go for the gold. Won't settle for silver, won't settle for tin, but we're going to go for the gold. And dear friends, there is one thing that I know for certain about all of you, is that you wouldn't be sitting in this room, according to the law of attraction, if you haven't been searching for the gold, if you haven't come very near to finding it, and some of you have already found it. And so you sit with the golden light over your head in peace. That's all we want for the world. We don't want to change the world. We don't want to, you know, we just want people to be in peace and to recognize the God in each other, the light of God that is always over their head and ours. And we just want to connect with it. It's always there. And in divine inspiration that comes sometimes like a bolt of lightning when you least expect it, and you feel this gratitude, and then you become addicted to it, and we say light, more light. You know, every August, and I focus on Leo, because I have a dear, dear friend, and if you've known me for a long time, you've heard the story many times, okay? Because I sort of promised myself and my dear friend, Howard Von Recht, that I would keep remembering him every month. So if you've seen the TV shows, you know I've done two on him this year. But that's okay. You know, it's a celebration of gold. That golden sun that rules the planets, all of our planets. And where is your Leo? Okay? And that golden consciousness that is a spark of divinity within each one of us. I love it. You know, we have a spark of divinity. We have a golden heart and a diamond mind. Isn't that incredible? So I don't care how poor you think you are in material things, or how poor we think other people are that seemingly have nothing except pain and misery. We do know that there is a truth about every one of us, and that is we have a golden heart of Leo and we have a diamond mind. Isn't it incredible and lovely? And so, I'm going to tell you about Howard. As I said, if you know me very long, you know the story. But there's this old gospel song. I love to tell the story to those who know it best, because they're the ones that appreciate it, you know? And if you don't know Howard, he knows you, okay? Because he's in this room right now. So, my dear friend, my Leo friend, Golden Heart, vocabulary consisted mostly of four-letter words. Very colorful speech. And they had that shock of blondish, reddish kind of hair that falls down like a lion. You do. And you can tell Leos. I don't care if they have a bald head, they'll still have a golden light on top of their head, you know? So, my friend from so many years ago, over 30 years, I hadn't seen him for a long time. And he called us and said, you know, I have cancer of the kidneys. Would you pray for me? I'm sure we did. Let's do it, okay? So he calls back in 2 months. I'm cured. Thank you very much. And he was not in Tucson at that time. But then I didn't see him for a long time. And then I found out. He called and said he had found his wife. Now, okay, he was born and raised in Catholic in St. Louis. He was married. They had a child the first year. Instead of having a 1 year celebration, he left. And he was gone for over 30 years, okay? And then, you know, it really is true that there is no such thing as time. There is no time or space, okay? And his wife, this beautiful wife that I'd only heard of, now he also had a child that year, a little girl. He had not seen her for 30 years. And his wife found him, and they got together, and I guess things were good after a 30-year absence, okay? And Howard, I can tell you, was not a monk. He had not entered, you know, an ashram or anything, you know. So he was living life. He's Leo flamboyant, okay? So a couple of years ago, I get a call, and he says, and his wife says, Betty, I know that you and your sister Nora, Reverend Nora Allen, are the best friends this Leo husband has ever had. And so, would you come and see him? He has cancer. They had only been together a couple of years, and he had reunited with his beautiful daughter from Bowling Green, Kentucky, who looked like him, sounded like him, had the same incredible personality. So I go up there, and I meet them. Everything is good. Shortly after that, I get a call. She says, he has cancer. Would you come and see him? I says, but don't tell him I said it, okay? So I said, well, we're going to pick up somebody at the Phoenix Airport tomorrow, coincidentally, as if there were coincidences. And so we did. And she says, he's in the hospital. So we went to the hospital to see him. He was going up and down the aisle, talking and carrying on and just having a great time, pushing that thing with all the liquids in it. So we just have a great time with him. The doctor comes up to me and he says, you know, he's got a problem. I said, yeah, told me he's got three cancers, brain, lungs, and kidneys. He said, no, I don't mean that. He said, what a problem is, he didn't have any pain, okay? And so he doesn't really know how serious it is, but he's dying, you know? Well, so we go home, and shortly after that, we go back to Camp Chesterfield, Indiana. Okay, the magical place where I took my students for over 25 years. And as we are leaving, our time is up, and I'm in having my last session with Spirit through the trumpet, okay, which I've been doing for more than a week. And they said, did you have a good week? Everything is wonderful, just incredible, incredible. But I didn't talk to St. Teresa, my healer, you know, who's standing right here, okay? St. Teresa of Lisieux. And they said, oh, well, she's in Tucson. Oh, she's in Phoenix with your friend Howard. And she's got a lot of Carmelite nuns with her, working with him, because he's in great pain, but they're removing it before he feels it. So, Betty, would you go to Phoenix and tell Howard to go to the light? He's dying, but he doesn't know how to do it. And so, I didn't right away say, yeah, I just love to tell him he's dying, you know. No. I meditated on that, and I thought, I'm going to make a deal with God, okay? So I said, okay, I will tell him if he answers the phone. So don't let him answer the phone if it's not that day. I don't want to catch him on the golf course, you know, and say, hey, Howard, by the way, you're dying, go to the light. They said, because you're friends and have been for so long, and you think that he remembers that you go to the light. Well, he doesn't. Okay, so, I come back and I make my deal and I negotiate with my band of teachers. Okay, so I will call, but if it's not the day, don't let him answer. So this happened like three times, 3 weeks, one call a week. Okay, nobody. So I'm really good. So about the fourth week, his wife calls and says, Betty, would you and Nora come up and see Howard, because, and don't tell him that I said so, okay? So we go up. It just happened again. You know, the kid that we picked up those weeks before for Tucson was just leaving the next day. We took him to Phoenix the next day. That's the day, and the day before is when she calls, could you come again, okay? So this time we go to the house and don't let him know that I called you. So we go to the knock on the door and go in, and Howard, as I have said, I would never have known who it was. You know, my sister Nora is a nurse, and she knew, you know, but I have never seen how possible it is for a body to enlarge like that. I've never seen it, you know. His feet were round like this, and they had given him, there were canisters of I don't know, some kind of liquid, but he never used it because he didn't have any pain. He still had no pain. So, as they had said to me, now, St. Teresa is not here because she's with her Carmelite sisters, removing the pain from him so he doesn't have any pain. If they were not there removing the pain, it would be unbearable. And a lot of people experience that, okay? But he is not in pain. After he gets over the embarrassment of us seeing him like that, and we're sitting at his table, what have you been doing? We just came from camp. We've been to camp. And so what did you do? What did you do? And I said, well, I've got pictures on silk, precipitated on silk. He has seen this over the years, in those years when we knew him well. He never went. It wasn't his thing. I got cards from precipitation on cards like this. My cards are valuable to me. I know a lot of you have cards and you've sat with Hoyt Robinette and you've got cards, but did you ever make 9x11s of them? They're priceless, friends, okay? They're Socrates, St. Anthony, and Emanuel Swedenborg on a little 3x5 card. An original poppy painted by Monet 2 months after I came from France in this museum. I've got these people. The one in the middle is my master teacher. I'm sorry, it isn't. This is Moses. I always say that my master teacher is Elijah. This is Moses opening, parting the Red Sea, okay? All of this one you know because I show her everywhere. I'm thinking about having her put on a t-shirt. She was a 3x5 card, priceless. I would not trade this for a Rembrandt, okay? One of my other teachers, and they all sign them. There's one of Paul, who just became a saint this past year, and he signed. Every one of these is a different person. Every one has a story. And at some point, I'm going to explain, and I'd love to share with you the fortress of Belém in Spain, in Portugal. And how I got to go to Belém, Portugal, just to see the building that's on my card, okay? To me, they are priceless. This one right here is called a scotograph. It was a blank, camera?
Polaroid
film. We sat with the film like this while Sitting Bull came in and built himself 7 feet tall and shook a rattle, while Crazy Horse is talking to us. And at the end, we put our picture in the developing, and I've got Geronimo, one of my big heroes, okay? Priceless, okay? I had a lot of things to share with him. And after each one, he was as thrilled about it as I was, seeing the power of spirit. And then he says, and what else? He kept saying, and what else? I had no more. I said, they told me to tell you to go to the light. And one drop of tears, probably the only liquid in his body, over his fat cheeks. And he said, Betty, the most priceless gift I have ever received. Thank you for coming up here and sharing that with me. He said, I think that I will go lie down, but I'm afraid you'll leave if I do. I said, I swear we won't. He goes and lies down for a few minutes, and then he tells us goodbye. When we left, he asked his wife to call a priest. He has not been in a Catholic church for 35 years, okay? He had been in a couple of our metaphysical ones, and he didn't have to go to church because me and all my friends talked about it all the time, okay? We told him everything Spirit said, and he was familiar with all of these. He asked his wife to call a priest. A priest came that night. A couple days later, she called, and she said, you know, the priest came. Next morning, He made transition. He died, okay? We're having the funeral in the morning here in Phoenix. And so went to the church. It was one of those modern ones. It looks like a warehouse. It doesn't have all the incredible stuff in it, you know, and statues and everything. You would not expect that it would have the spirit in it, since it doesn't have the old antiquities in it, okay? Well, I'm wrong about that. It doesn't need to happen, okay? But my sister and I get there early. There are six women who are the rosary group, okay? They do this at every service and every funeral. Six of them. We sat in front of them. The spirit from that rosary and those women filled the room, okay? In a short time, I could see Howard walking up the aisle with the priest. They were walking in front. They were walking in front of the casket, and then the pallbearers were back here carrying the casket, okay? But they were walking in front of it. And as I've said before, he looked like my Howard 30 years before. He was wearing a Gaia Bearer shirt because that's all he ever wore. At that time, that was the uniform for Tucson. Mayor Murphy and all of the people in City Hall wore Gaia Bearer shirts, and he was wearing his, okay? The priest goes up here, and Howard is sitting in one of the chairs up on the altar, and the priest gets up and he starts talking. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, just like we do, namaste, okay? He says, I want to tell you a story, friends. He said, I never met this man till about 2.5 days ago. He said, but I went over and I listened to him, and he said he was going to the light, and he told me about it as he was going. He says, I've been a priest for over 40 years, and I have never, ever experienced the spirit as it happened to me with this man a couple of nights ago. Beloved friends, we know the story. We live that story. But isn't it wonderful that there are a lot of folks out here that haven't heard the story? There is no death. It is not possible for you to die. But whenever this body is ready, we take off this wardrobe. We can put on a Gaia Bearer shirt if we want to go to our own funeral, okay? Because a lot of people in spirit go to their own funeral and then tell us about it. So as we're sitting there on Thursday night, don't know what people are going to say when they come in. Sometimes they say, well, thanks for coming to my funeral. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad you played the songs, you know, that I picked. Everything is wonderful in its own way, isn't it? The way. And the way is, as a man thinks, it is. If you want to live in hell, you can. If you want to live in heaven, you can. It's our choice. God bless you all.